Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Particularly on such a beautiful day. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. It's been an interesting day for me. When God changes your message, when you're putting the final touches on the old one, it becomes quite frustrating, and you fight it for a few moments, and nothing. It's like the spirit of confusion comes on you. So I decided that I thought I'd just submit to the spirit of the Almighty God today. He turned my attention to the way our church is structured. And I began to go through the list of leaders that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. And it was really amazing as I began to look at the number of quality people that have stepped up into leadership. And I've been here for going on 32 years, and I don't recall ever seeing a church with this many qualified people in it. We have a good number of, we have Brother and Sister Russell, who are district superintendents, former district superintendents and pioneer pastors. And of course, we have our own John W. Grant. And the question that came to my mind, and God began to quiz me, why are all these people coming in one spot here? And it became quite evident as the message began to get together that God is planning for this church to have a mighty, mighty revival, a revival we've been talking about. And these leadership teams that have been put together, I'm excited, so excited about it. You know, when God gathers this many eagles or this many people who are quality together, it becomes evident that something great is going to happen. And I'm thinking of our very own Pastor John Grant, who's not here tonight, co-pastoring with Pastor Roy Grant. Pastor Grant cast a vision some years ago, I think maybe 5 years or 6 years ago, and of 20,000 souls. I looked at that number, and for a while it kind of stunned me, but after you say it enough times, I guess it begins to make a little more sense. And then when you look at all the people who are involved in leadership and all the committed people that are working with those folks, it becomes pretty amazing. And then Roy Grant, as he took on the co-pastorship, I'm amazed that he has put a purpose and a process in place here. That, you know, we were working in that direction, but within a short period of time, Roy has turned us into a process. We've got so many things going on here. We're putting and adding ministries. We're putting pieces to the puzzle that have to be in place. If we expect God to send this many people, we have an opportunity for everybody to be involved. We have student ministries, an amazing pastor, Phil, associate pastor, Phil, and his beautiful wife, Fiona Demas. My goodness, what a marvelous job they are doing. Of course, we have a Spanish ministry with Pastor John Seidel, and of course, Purpose Institute and New Life classes 1 through 4 are all part of his responsibilities, among other things. Financial Peace University, we have youth pastors, Carl and Cecily Grant, doing a marvelous job with our youth. Hyphen Pastor Shane and Vonna Mackey. Where do you find this many people to come to this church? But it's all part of the process that God's put in place here. I'm looking at our Sunday school directors, Rick and Nicole Solberg. What a fantastic job they're doing here. They're getting a new vision in our Sunday school department. And then our ladies' ministry. What a display last weekend with Roy mentioned this, but these ladies are not only separating holy and beautiful, but they can preach the word of the Lord. Praise God. So that is so very exciting. We have the Martinez's, some of these support people that you wouldn't believe how much painting they've done around Calvary Gospel Church. They're doing a fantastic job. Hallelujah. We have a life support team this may not mean much to you at this point, but when we have 20,000 souls here, this life support team that's starting now in the incubation phase is going to be vital to the growth of Calvary Gospel Church, because we're going into the highways and the byways and pulling people out of the fire, and these people are going to need some spiritual guidance and some counseling. And, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, God will take care of them, but you know, they need answers to real life problems that are spiritually based. And I'm so excited about Brother Devin, and he's put together a whole crew working with him. And the amazing thing about all these people is that they all have a passion for the work of God, and they're not territorial, and they're looking to build a kingdom, if you will. We have our very own Sister Ellen Hopp, who's doing the CGC News, the weekly reminder. Sister Thomas, our African International Ministry, Claude and John Eka, Music Ministry, Scott and Vicki Leonardson. What an amazing job they have done. We have a deaf ministry with Sister Renee Strand, recently elected one of the national leaders in the UPCI deaf ministry. Praise God. We have a CIP and a prison ministry that's been going on for years, and Brother James and Audrey Hawk are directing that. First Impressions team, Craig and Jane Rossing and Ward Meyer, they're doing a tremendous job. You begin to see all these little parts are sitting to, they're beginning to click together, and people are beginning to realize that not only are they to be doing what God's called them to do, but they're training other people that one of these days, I'm not going to be here, and I'm believing Mark and Christina Nikielski are going to be stepping into the role that we have, and Pastor Roy just mentioned about, he's got so many years left, but he wants to have people in place to take his job over. And it is so exciting to see what God is doing. Praise God. We have West Side Extension with Brother and Sister O'Neill. Praise God. We also have a Chinese and Nepalese outreaches. Brother O'Neill is in charge of that. We've got an Ally Drive Extension with Scott and Vicki Leonardson. We have local outreach with Home Bible Study Ministry, with bus ministry, and these young people are doing a tremendous job. We have some new young people that are stepping up and assuming responsibilities. But see, they were trained by people who understood that they needed to get people to step up, take the next step up. And of course, we got Tim and Kim Knopp, who've been around here since before the Dead Sea was sick, and they've been working in the campus ministry diligently for years and years and years and years. We've got an excellent tech man, John Rivets, who's been supportive over all these years. And, of course, his lovely wife, who's doing some great things in her office. And there's just so many parts of this puzzle, so many areas that you can get involved in. And there's other people that it's, you know, I can't really explain all of this. You have to be here to see what Brother Dave Hopp does, and some of the people that just come over and volunteer, and Brother Jeff Merkus, who's worked on vehicles for all these years and been so very supportive of the church, and Brother Jim Ribbets, who's donated thousands of dollars worth of work, electrical work, and Jeff Rossing and his brother have done so many things, and Glenn Rossing. Grandpa Grump has been an asset in our teaching ministry over the years. Praise God. But without a process and a purpose, our vision will die. Without a process, this vision is going to die. Praise God. When we're believing God for a 20,000 soul revival, unity is not an option. We are striving to be as unified as we possibly can. And I see in our church that unity is something that just seems to be going on at all times. Leviticus 26:8, the Bible says regarding unity, "And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." And I truly believe the Calvary Gospel Church is training and it's poised. It's ready and it's prepared to go into the battle. And my friend, we are at the fringes of this battle. We have not gotten into the real skirmish yet. I don't think God is going to allow us to get in there until we get these final pieces of the puzzle, but He's preparing us. He's causing us to sit down and count the cost. And we've got men like Pastor Roy Grant and his father and other visionary people in our congregation. Brother Phil Demas is doing a tremendous job organizing and working in the youth department. But he's amazing when it comes to putting together processes. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy 3:1. This is what we're coming up against. This is what I believe the church is in the midst of at this moment, because if we believe anything, we believe that we are in what, the last days. This is not a game, my friend. This is the times that we've been seeing throughout the scripture. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. My goodness, the things that we read in the newspapers, people are brutal. They are, can you imagine some of the things that we are seeing today that I cannot remember when I was a child, hearing about all these atrocities and all the murders and the crazy things that are going on. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. My goodness, we are having so many so-called revivals around this city. And the people that are having the revivals, there's no power in their revival. It's an ad, it's a gimmick, it's a campaign that they put together. Listen, I want to belong to a true apostolic church that's ready to meet the needs of the people in the 21st century that have planned and put themselves in position to be blessed of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over the weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Praise. Aren't you glad that there's truth? I mean, seriously, we are in a church that preaches the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There is no compromise here at Calvary Gospel Church. We're not trying to win you over with our building or anything else. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those. And you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are no shortcuts to that. It's not an optional. And then once you are born again, you need to be separated and holy. And then you need to live this life and become involved in ministry here. So, you know, when you're involved in ministry, guess what happens? You get your eyes off of self. Your problem seems so small because you begin to focus on the needs of other people. It is an amazing thing how that works. And when you begin to meet other people's needs, guess what? God then turns around and meets your need. Praise God. I want to read you a little story. And it's a story about a Marine Corps, of course. There was a general in World War II named Chesty Puller. He was a Marine Corps general. He had one division of men at the time. There was 12,500 of them, and they were on an island, and I'm not sure which island it was, but they were became surrounded by 22 divisions of Japanese soldiers, which equates to approximately 365,000 men. And they were, the Japanese had pushed in so close to them, they were within like 100 yards, so they could not call in bombing. They could not do anything. And the high command said, we're just going to have to abandon them. We're going to have to sacrifice them because we can't help them. We can't get in and they can't get out. Well, here's what Chesty Puller did. He called for his leaders And he got them all together, and this is what he was quoted as saying: "Men, the enemy is in front of us. They are flanked on both sides, and they are behind us. We are surrounded. They can't get away from us now." That's a true statement. And guess what, my friend? We are surrounded in this city with every abomination you can possibly think of. You believe this week alone, the Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of the Buddhist, I don't know if it's worldwide Buddhist sect, but it's I think it is. He filled up one of the largest buildings in our city. People willing to pay from $30 to $70 per seat to listen to his enlightenment. And listen, some of the doctors and lawyers in our community were praising this man, praising his intellect, praising his insight on goodness and all the things. I was so amazed. Praise God. And then he went to the state legislator, legislator, and he became a featured speaker there. So this is what we're up against here in Madison, Wisconsin. One of the largest Buddhist temples in the nation is in our county. It's in our county. Thousands of people come from all over the world to worship Buddha at that temple. Dane County is one of the, has home to one of the largest witches covens in the United States. Can you believe that? We're battling against spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise God. And we need to be aware of these things as they surround us, my friend. It doesn't bother me at all. The National Freedom of Religion Foundation was founded in Madison, and it has chapters all over the United States. The Madison, Wisconsin is considered the new gay capital of the world. Not just the United States, of the world, because of the number of alternate lifestyle people who have taken up residence here. The University of Wisconsin is now one of the hotbeds of the New Age movement, and secular humanism is amazingly strong at the UW campus. Praise God. I read an article recently that said the UW is not listed as one of the top 10 universities for drinking. And the reason they said, the article said, was because University of Wisconsin is in a league all alone by itself. Nobody comes close to consuming the amount of alcohol that the students at the University of Wisconsin consume. Hello? Are we surrounded? Are they on our left? Are they on our right? Praise God. Romans 5 and 20 gives you the answer. Listen, this is going to be the greatest time that you could ever have lived in, because this is the time, and this is the hour, and this is the day. Praise God. I don't hate the sin. The sinners are fine. It's the sin they're involved in. We have been given the ability and the authority to take down these strongholds. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, because our enemy is surrounding us, they're coming at us on all, like a tsunami, really. Go into your office and start talking about Jesus Christ, and everybody would look at you like you are come out from outer space. If you start talking about the magnificent service we had tongues and interpretation, and that you speak in tongues, and that you've given up tobacco and alcohol, they're going to look at you like, are you kidding me? Are you? I know that because I had a business, and if I wasn't the boss, they probably would have beat me up and threw me on the street. But I knew the moment I left the building, they all talked about me. They laughed. They thought it was real funny. Praise God. They didn't think it was funny when their lives began to fall apart. They didn't think it was funny when their wives left them. They didn't think it funny when we had one of their kids pass away. But praise God. Excuse me. I believe that God is raising up Calvary Gospel Church right now, today, that he's putting us in a position to take on the enemies of, that God has just revealed to us here, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, We don't think about this, at least I don't, on a daily basis. But we should be praying for these, against these forces on a daily basis. We should be appalled that people are still aborting live fetuses. We should be appalled that people are getting sucked into witchcraft and idolatry and Buddhism and all these occult things. We can't just come in here and have church and keep having church. We need to attack the enemy. If we're going to break through this darkness, we're going to have to be on the attack mode. Listen, when we do nothing, Satan loves it. God cannot do anything unless we become passionate against evil. Praise God. The only thing that we need to do is get ourselves in position. We need to just go. You know, no battle can ever be won unless the troops are willing to go. And what a blessing it is to have all of these people here at Calvary Gospel Church and all of these ministries. And everyone wants to be involved. We have nursery work. We have all kinds of people that you'll never see in a service sometimes on Sunday morning because they're tucked away in their classroom ministering to other people. Brother Millen had an awesome testimony. I don't know if he's in here or not, but talking about the power of praying to God, he was telling me Sunday, I think he probably told Roy, it's really a cool testimony. He's been driving by an adult bookstore for years going to work, and he kept praying. He said, "Lord, shut that building down. God, I pray that you'd shut them, get them out of business." And then he went by about a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, and he said, "Now, Lord," he said, "you can shut them down, but give the people that are working there a good place to go to work." The next time he drove by, he looked up, and it had become a children's bookstore. Seriously, what could we do if we decided in one mind and one accord, agreeing at this tavern across the street? The people identify Calvary Gospel, oh, you mean the church over by the Eagle Crest Bar? I'd like to say, the church that's over there we're using for additional parking, that's over there. That bar's gone. We need to pray that place out of business. Anybody with me on this? I hope nobody's going over there. Maybe that's not... You know what happens many times? We have all these weapons. We have all these things going for us, and we forget to use them. We have things coming against us. People get depressed. People have, they're feeling that they can't do certain things, and their mind becomes filled with doubt and fear. Listen, where do you think these thoughts are coming from? These thoughts are coming from the enemy. He does not want you to be involved in the work of the Lord. He does not want you to become a successful Christian. But guess what? We're going to win. We have an assignment from our commander-in-chief. He's told us exactly what we are to do, and he's given us the authority to do it. He tells us where we need to go and what we are to do. Praise God, he's given us a ton of weapons. He even tells us in the back of the book the outcome of the battle and the war, if we get into the battle, that is. Matthew 28:18. Our commander-in-chief said this, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go," everybody say, "go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." What is the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that revelation. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So we know where to go over the whole world and what we're supposed to do is teach. And we're supposed to go out and baptize them. And then Mark 16:15. Praise God. Our commander gives us a little more information. Praise God. "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Praise God. We have missionaries from this church preaching the gospel in Antigua, in Latvia. We have daughter churches that had turned into actual works up in Beaver Dam, Brother Derber and Brother Punzel in Fort Atkinson, Brother Crowder, international evangelist, came out of this church. Praise God. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's an awesome message. I mean, that's an awesome message. Jesus doesn't hide anything here. Hey, you have to believe. And how would you know if someone believed? You'd be baptized, right? Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized. Why would you want not? Why? I don't understand it. I guess I'm talking to people every single week, literally, that are refusing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they get the idea that this is a doctrine that we made up somehow. That somehow we have this thing going where we can tell people, you've got to do this. You mean to tell me if I don't be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion, I'm not going to go to heaven? Well, what does the Bible say? No, I'm asking you a question. No, I'm giving you an answer. You know, you follow what I'm saying? People are so, I guess, I don't know how exactly how to say the word, but my heart breaks every time this happens. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Now, a lot of people laugh at us because we believe that when you receive the Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak with new tongues. And we believe that we can cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is amazing. This is for all believers. This isn't just for that rare time that Brother Bustard comes here. This is you and I. Everybody should have these signs following them. Don't exclude yourself, my friend. If you will just believe, God can do all things to those who believe. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so excited that I can barely speak. Mark 16:19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Mark 16:20, and they went forth. See, they had to go. And preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, I want to just read to you that scripture, that last scripture in the Aramaic Bible. It reads like this. And they went and preached in every place. The Lord was helping them and confirmed their words with signs and wonders. Their words. Jesus is no longer here. His Spirit dwells inside of us. He will honor our words. When we boldly proclaim the word of the Lord, God has no choice but to honor his own word. Is everybody with me on this? Praise God. Every great revival ever recorded from the book of Acts on, Brother Roy, has been followed and preceded by signs and wonders and miracles. Listen, I don't want to be just another Pentecostal church. We have come to that point, and now I believe that we are on the launching pad of the supernatural. Things are in place. There is no reason why we cannot be filled with people waiting to get into this building who are eager to be touched by the Spirit of the... Listen, if they can come out here and line up at 2 o'clock in the morning for touch twice because the dentist is going to take away their pain, what if the word gets around that, hey, listen, I'm dying. Wheel me over there to Calvary Gospel Church. Just stick me over there. Maybe one of those elders will lay hands on me, or one of those people will pray over me and I'll be healed. Praise God. It's got to happen. It's got to happen if we're going to have the revival that we believe God is going to give us. It's got to happen that way. I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want to leave this church without someone being raised from the dead. I mean, this is not something that's not, this is not the unusual. It's unusual that these signs are not happening. And I believe what's happening now, God's poising us and pushing us in that direction. I see more people fasting now on their own. They just feel God is talking to them, and they know that there's something keeping them from that next level. And they begin to seek God with prayer and fasting. And I've talked to some of these people with tears in their eyes and said, you know, Brother Thomas, I want to go to the next level, but I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. I said, well, just get a hold of the Lord, begin to pray, begin to fast, begin to seek God. You need to clean out the inside of the vessel. See, we've got things hidden inside of us that hold us back. We've got some things that have happened to us that we will not forgive other people. We've got things going on sometimes on a subconscious level that's keeping us way back from where God wants us to be. Listen, we need to get rid of the sins and the weights that so easily beset us. Apostle Paul said he died daily. Listen, what a wonderful way God has provided. We can die daily. We can become without spot and blemish every single day of our life. If we don't let a root get down inside of us, if we don't let a little sin, don't think for a second that we're hiding anything. You know, the hidden things of dishonesty, have you ever thought about what that means, Pastor Roy? The hidden things of dishonesty sometimes is, praise the Lord, brother. Is that you? Hallelujah. Hidden things of dishonesty. I love you, Lord, with all my heart. We're singing the song. And God says, no, you don't. Hallelujah. It can happen. The words that come out of our mouth, every word's been recorded. You say, well, it's just a song. Really? I love you, Lord, and I worship you with all my... Listen. God, help me to worship you with all of my heart. Because there's parts of my heart that's still broken. There's parts of me that I have not submitted to God because I don't love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. I'm working at it. And it seems like I take 3 steps forward and 7 back. You ever been there? Listen, get up and go again. You can't lay down. You can't quit this army. There's no place to go. You know too much. Thank you, Jesus. Where do you go? You get back up and you begin to fight. Hey, if you're not in the fight, maybe you're not doing anything. If you don't, and have never went through a fiery trial, which are, I believe the Bible says every one of us is going to go through a fiery trial. The Lord, whoever the Lord loves, he chastens. And if we endure the chastening, then God's going to make us sons. Praise God. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders. You know what really I believe God uses signs and wonders for is the advertising of the true apostolic church. Throughout the book of Acts, every time there was a, you know, when the impotent man was healed in the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says the whole city knew about it. Because everybody went to the temple. Everybody had to walk past that impotent man. How many times did they have to reach in their pocket, according to Jewish law, and give him a shekel or whatever the purpose was for him being there? And this man's totally healed and he's dancing and he has access to the temple. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know the angels of the Lord respond to the voice of his word? Psalms 103:20. This scripture, and I'm going to just share some scriptures that I call power scriptures with you, because I use them on the battlefield when I'm engaging what I consider to be spiritual warfare. And it's changed my life, because when I got the revelation that's put out here in 103:20, bless the Lord, all ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. When we speak forth the word of the Lord, I believe the angels of God hearken to that voice. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper unto the thing whereto I sent it. We are now sending that word into a lost, dying, dark world. The word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. If we could ever settle it up here and in here, we'll become awesome vessels of the Most High God. That's the whole purpose of having the Holy Ghost. It's not just to speak in tongues. It is to become the voice of His Word. Somebody has to proclaim this gospel. Somebody has to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Somebody has to preach this message. Praise God. Jeremiah 1 and 12. This is the New International Version. The Lord said unto me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. When we speak the word, God is the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. So he's watching over his word. And your heart's perfect because you died today. You went to the Lord and God gave you an assignment. And when you got that assignment, you began to pray that assignment into fruition. Does this make any sense? We are the vessels. We are the, there's nobody else. We're the body of Christ. The physical body of Christ on earth is every one of us here that have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not the tail. We are the head. If Satan's been wagging your head with crazy thoughts and thoughts of insecurity and thoughts of the past, listen, snap out of it. Get a hold of Jesus Christ. Understand who you are. Praise God. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of spiritual strongholds. I like that. They're mighty through God. The strongholds, I believe, not only is it the Dalai Lama and the alternate lifestyle and the Wiccans and the atheists and the humanists, it's those thoughts that are bound up in our spirit that have become a stronghold that makes us feel inadequate, that makes us feel like we are depressed, that allows Satan to have advantage of us and over our feelings. Listen, this gospel is not run by feelings. It's run by faith. Faith is based on the facts found in the Word of God. We need to transfer those words into our heart. We need to memorize and meditate on the Word of God until the things that come out of our heart, the things that we're speaking, are in accordance with God's Word. Praise God. What a wonderful way to live. It doesn't happen overnight, but you have to start someplace. You have to get involved. Either you become involved in the work of the Lord and begin to feed on the word of the God. Someday you'll find the lion is going to be right at your doorstep. And he's going to be ready to devour you. You can put it on cruise control if you want to. You can stop praying and nobody's going to know here at Calvary Gospel Church. You could stop fasting. You could raise your hand for a fast and never do it. Nobody's going to know but God and Satan. Satan can't read your mind, but he can read your lips. Looks at your hand slipping up, fasting on Thursday. God says, liar. Sorry. For those of you that raised your hand for Thursday, that's okay. You can throw stones at me. Yikes. You have to remember this, that the promises of God have already been spoken. They are in full force. Long before you were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, that was already there. It was already poured out. Your healing has already been poured out. You have to step into it by faith. You have to receive those things that God has given you. We can believe in divine healing and never receive it because we don't really believe it. How do you know if you believe it enough? Because the Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. Praise God. I believe as a soldier in the army of God, we need to remember that God spoke these words. Just as he said in the beginning, he spoke and the heavens and earth were formed. Just as he spoke and put water into existence. Just as he did everything God does, he speaks into existence. It's still here. It's not gone away. And that authority and that power has been transferred to his body. It seems almost impossible. It seems improbable that God would want to use me or use you. Because we look at this, we look through our finite mind here, and we say, oh, I don't know if God could use me because I've got... You see all your weaknesses. God sees a vessel. All you need to do is go. But I don't know what to say. Just go ahead and start speaking. Did you know what you were going to say when you were first filled with the Holy Ghost? Boy, how am I going to speak? And I've had people say, I don't know what to say. I don't know any other language. Listen, if we will just get up and go, get up and get involved, get up and become part of the family of God. Listen, the more you give to the Lord, the more you give to his kingdom, the more you pray the word, pray your circumstances, pray based upon thus saith the Lord. Praise God. And God's still speaking. We sometimes separate the God of the Old Testament that spoke the worlds into existence. But listen, God said this in John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Does that sound like vagueness to you? Doesn't that sound like power? This is why I call them power scriptures. Quote these scriptures. Praise God. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to flow through you. You'd be amazed what God's going to do with you. It will give you boldness. It will give you boldness to come to the throne room. Not based upon your spirituality, but based on thus saith the Lord. He's wanting, looking for somebody who's willing to speak it. You say, well, I don't know if I believe it. Start speaking it until you believe it. Start meditating on it until one of these days you're going to walk by an impotent man. You're just going to turn and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. You think they rehearsed that? What they had rehearsed was the power of God and what was happening, praise God, in their life. John 15:7, if you abide in me, God said this, by the way, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And God said, John 16:23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked me nothing in my name. Ask it, and ye shall receive that your joy might be full. This is the same God that said, let there be light. God also said he wants your joy to be full. He said he wanted the desires of your heart to be fulfilled. He wants to, you know, think about this. When you have your little baby, I had my granddaughter the other day for a couple days, and, you know, my goodness, what a joy it was to see her just say, Mama. Mama. You know, we get all excited, and I'm pushing the grandpa. When they were gone, I'm going, grandpa. Not that I was trying to cheat, but yes, I was. How excited does God get when one of you rise up with righteous indignation and say, Satan, get thee behind me. I take control over my fear. I take control over my circumstances. I lay hands on the sick and they are going to recover. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. This is what God has promised us. But because sometimes we don't feel anything, we don't do anything. And if we only do things when we feel about those, feel something, we'll never do anything because Satan will keep your feelings at such a low level. You'll never receive your healing. You'll never receive the things that God wants to do in your life. Praise God. That your joy shall be full. 1 John 5:14. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, you'd be quite foolish to be asking for something that was not His will. Most Christians, if your heart's in tune with the Spirit of God, you're going to be asking, God, I'm asking that you be at that park meeting on Saturday. I'm asking, God, that you draw hungry souls. Life and death, eternity, heaven and hell are going to be based upon what we do and how we respond. We're coming against the forces of evil. We're believing you, God, for a mighty outpouring this weekend. We're trusting God for 50 souls that could escape a horrible eternity separated from God. Oh, hallelujah. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. My, my, my. This is such a powerful scripture. If we, and this is our confidence, we ask anything according to His will. What's His will? Not any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be happy. You know, God's not in the condemnation business. He's in the joy business. He's in the peace business. He's in the business of making you prosperous. He loves it. Roy Grant goes in the plumbing business. And within a short period of time, he's got more work than you could possibly imagine. There's just a good number of us who've been in businesses, and some of you are working in certain places, and you rise up the ladder, and it's amazing how the favor of God falls on the employer or your business when you allow God to use you like He would like to use you. Praise God. And God said in Matthew 16:19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Wrap your head around that one. Can you do it? Whatsoever. Does He give us power? Does He give us authority to bind and loose? When we agree on any one thing, praise God. If it's in His will, God's going to do it. Praise God. I'm amazed. And God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we can pick up a newspaper, go to the USA Today website, and read some of the most horrific headlines ever recorded in history. People are becoming human cannibals. People are sucking blood out of their friends' veins because they want to become vampires. We have men kidnapping little girls and keeping them in bondage for 10 years. We have crazy bombers who are setting off things at the Boston Marathon. That's just in a couple weeks' time I've read these things. We can look at these things and say, oh, this just makes me sick. What we should do is be getting vehemently mad. We should be attacking the spiritual strongholds. We should be so offended that we can't sleep at night. We should be taking this to the kingdom, to the throne room of God, and begin to petition Him. Darkness must flee in with light comes in. And God said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He's long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sometimes we look at people and they say, oh, they'd never want to come to Calvary Gospel Church. Last week, Brother Chris Bainey picked up a man at the Capitol Square by the Salvation Army. He'd been beat up the night before, stripped of all his clothing, all of his money. He spent the evening in the hospital. They gave him some clothes and they sent him on his way. And when they asked him, as he was sitting there on the steps of the Salvation Army, would you like a ride to church? He said, oh, yes. He said, I'm so ready. He says, and I had the good fortune of praying with him. You should have heard this man's repentance. You should have heard what was coming out of his lips. You know, he didn't know how to pray, but and I said, just ask God. He said, now, Lord, he said, you know, I've been such a bad person all my life, and I'm addicted to alcohol, and this has happened, and that's happened. He's just talking just so clean and so pure. He says, now, God, I can't continue to do this. You somehow spared my life last night. He said, but I know that I'm running out of time here. I'm getting older, and I can't do this anymore. And he started weeping, and we laid hands on him, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And God said, if thou canst believe, Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. You have to kind of marinate, let that marinate a little bit. All things are possible to those who believe. What if the things I'm believing for are not for Rich Thomas? What if they're for the guy down on the street? Or what if my heart begins to break over the fact that there's so few people who are responding to the gospel? What if we get a half dozen intercessors here who take on the ministry of intercession? Those of you that have actually been used in intercession will know this. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job because you'll have moaning and groanings and you'll feel like you're going to give birth to a child. But I know one thing, as you intercede, when God's using intercession, it's been a while for me, but when he was using me in intercession, I couldn't stop praying. I just couldn't stop praying. I had no idea who I was praying for. It was just this heavy, heavy burden. I began to weep and cry. And I don't know, it could have been someone in a foreign land. It doesn't really. And then I could feel it lift. It was like, okay, that prayer is answered. And then another wave would come. And another wave would come. Listen, we are standing in the gap between heaven and hell. God has positioned us, has given us awesome leadership. We have been given the opportunity and the privilege to be used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you believe Mark 9:23, then you will believe that God can heal your body. If you believe that, he will. If you believe God can restore your marriage, he will. If you believe God can heal your broken heart, he will. If you believe God can deliver you from your addictions, he will. If you believe God can provide all of your need, he will. If you believe God can heal your broken heart, he will. If you believe that you are a sinner with no hope, then God's calling you to repentance. If you believe God will take away all of your sins through water baptism tonight, as we stand, I believe he will. I don't know about you, but I want to be, in these last days, everything that I've had a lot of wonderful things happen to me over the years, and God's used me in various dimensions, but, that's yesterday. That doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't mean anything, what I did on the bus route or whatever. That doesn't mean anything. What am I doing for God today? How can I push some of these things out of my life that are keeping me from becoming the man that I've been called to be? What do I have to do, O Lord? Praise God. We have such an opportunity here. There is a revival, my friend, that's coming. There's a God that's pleading with us. Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Get your mind off your own problems. Get them on. Turn your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Listen, the more you turn your eyes on Jesus, the less of your personal problems, they will literally disappear. But as long as you're focusing on the negative, that's exactly what you'll receive. I talk to people and all they do is talk about the bad things that are happening to them or the things they can't get over. Guess what? You're not going to get over that way. But if you begin to focus on the solution, don't worry about the problem. God takes care of the problems. Is anybody here ready to change? Are you feeling something inside of you that, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired? When you stop changing, you stop growing. It's a simple fact. If you sit down and examine yourself, ask yourself, what have I changed in the last week? How about the last month? How about the last year? Okay. How about the last 5 years? What am I doing differently today than what I did 5 years ago? Do I have it on cruise control, or am I really passionate about my relationship with God? Because if you haven't changed, if you can't point to the day and the time when you change, you're not growing. Even Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in stature with both man and God. For you to have God's favor on your life, you could never be satisfied with the old man. Behold, the Bible says, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are become new. Does that happen at the moment you're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost? No. See, God's done everything he's going to do for you. He did it all on Calvary's cross. Your healing, your salvation, all that's been purchased. We walk into a relationship, we don't put any skin in the game. He's got it all himself. But now, we got to remember one thing. Every promise in that book, although it's yours, you're going to have to dig it out. You're going to have to pray it out. You're going to have to stick it out. You're going to have to go through thick and thin. You're going to have to go through fiery trials. You may be persecuted, but you're going to have to get to a point in your life where all things are working together for your good because of your love relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other shortcut. You can turn a television on and say, my friends, if you'll send $29.95. No, that doesn't work that way. God's not interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. You know, so many times we don't say things, but they're in our heart. You think that God's not going to hold us responsible for the thoughts and intents of our heart? I believe he's going to. And I believe I can prove it to you scripturally. But more than that, if you really want to live a victorious life, that's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. That's where the blessings are. When you are committed, when you go all in. You can't go all in at one time, but in your mind you say, now, Lord, I'm giving up this for you. I want to go to the next dimension, and whatever it takes, Lord, show me what I must do to get there. Listen, that's the only way to play the game. The only way you can win is give up everything. It seems strange. When I came to God, I didn't have two nickels to rub together, Pastor Roy. Literally, I didn't have anything. God blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. And then he took it all away. He just took it all away. All my dreams, everything. And I was glad to do it after the shock. But you know what? He gave it all back. But there's something you cannot get out of a job or a human relationship or anything else other than the relationship with the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God will transform you from darkness to light. If you purpose in your heart, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Because I'm purposing in my heart, I'm going to prove is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Nothing less will do it. No compromise. Nothing else. God wants everything. And you can't own anything until you give it to God anyway. And he many times has to take it away from you so you can understand that you don't own it anyway. Can't you see? I love you. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight that's taking in this message, but I'll tell you this. God worked me over today. If you're here tonight and you'd like to renew this relationship, you can do it at your seat. You can do it up in the front here. But I believe God's speaking to Calvary Gospel Church. He's preparing His army, and there's going to be a battle call, and we're going to have to be ready for it, or we're going to get suffering here. That's it. We got people coming up here already.